Hey, we're carrying on in this series, and we're going to actually wrap up today's sermon with another video that I want to share with you. That's a testimony at another church. We're talking through this series called Dead of Winter. We started it last week, and I'm talking through four things that I want to ask you to stop doing in the midst of the winter of your soul. So when you're in the darkest times and the heaviest times and the most challenging times, I want to talk to you about some of the practices that I want you to stop doing in those times, that God actually has something for you in those spaces. And often winter can be a long process. Right now, even in our city, the snow and all of that, it can feel like a long process. And sometimes the winter of our soul can be the same way. And so last week we said, stop isolating yourself. In the midst of winter, stop isolating yourself and just like gritting your teeth and bearing it and say, I think I'll probably get through this and it's going to be okay and I don't need anyone. Stop doing that. You're meant to be with people. You're meant to have people who know what you're facing and know what you're challenged by and know what you're tempted by and know what you're trying to overcome and know what's overcoming you. And so stop isolating yourself in that process. And then today I want to talk to you about the idea that I want you to stop rushing. Stop rushing out of winter. Sometimes all we want to do when winter shows up is get out of it. Hey, does anyone like the snow? Okay, there's a few people. Okay, never mind. I'm done my sermon. See you later. I know there are some days when the snow is fun and exciting and beautiful, and I like when I look outside at nighttime right now and it's still bright, like the moon, or sometimes there's not even a moon out, and yet the snow seems to give this like glow. It is beautiful. But I know for a lot of us, when snow comes, like if it comes before December 25th, it's like, oh, beautiful, amazing, great. Comes after January, we're like, what in the world are you doing? I live in the Comox Valley for a reason, and this is not it, right? Most of us live here in part, I got an amen, hallelujah. Most of us live here in part because we're like, well, I'm not really looking for all of this snow. And I kind of live here so that I can tell the rest of the nation how terrible they are and how great we are. That's usually why I live here. No amens? Okay. We don't usually know what to do with the snow. And I grew up in a city that had snow all the time, and that was fine. Nothing ever shut down. In fact, I can never remember a snow day at my school growing up. I can remember a cold day. And so if it hit something like minus 38 and the buses couldn't run, then school would shut down. But they'd still open the doors because otherwise some kids wouldn't get the memo, and they're showing up and shivering outside the door like, let me in. I don't remember a snow day once because we had the plows, you know, we had the salt, we had the sand, we had everything ready. Here, we're not ready for it. And so when the snow comes, instantly I'm like, oh, everything's going to shut down. You know, like a little dusting and it's an emergency around the nation. We get jokes about that. People are like, oh, really? An emergency in the Comox Valley? Hey? It's like, it is emergency because we don't know how to clear the roads. We don't know. All of a sudden, like our driveway, like all of a sudden has snow like this high because the plows just go na 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 na, and the snow all of a sudden changes everything, and you can sort of just feel like it shuts everything down. And so I'm looking out sometimes when the snow comes and winter comes, like, oh, I just wish it was spring. You know, I just wish it was summer. I just wish it was a different season than this. In fact, winter is often marked by all the things that it's not rather than all the things that it is. We look at winter and say, it's not spring and I like sunshine. It's not spring and I like flowers. It's not spring and it's not summer and I like warmth. And so winter is all of the things that it is just actually what it isn't. But my kids, when they wake up, and they see snow outside, they're like, Mom, Dad, yeah! They come in, they're like, yeah, could it be a snow day? Do you think it's a snow day? What do you think? Do we get to shut everything down? Do we get to have, because they know it's sledding, it's all the things that they can't do in the spring, they can't do in the summer. Let's go make snowballs. Let's go get dressed in all of our snow gear and then have to go pee and go to the bathroom and then go get dressed again. Let's go do all of that stuff. This is going to be amazing. We're so excited. Can we make snowmen? Can we go like eat all the snow? Can we do everything? So can we just go play outside all day long? because they see that winter offers something. It brings something to the table. And though I can look at it and go, oh, it's all this blah, it's not all the things that I want. It's not gardening. You know, I love gardening. I can't plant seeds in the winter. In fact, if you try to plant seeds in the winter, it's not going to do you any good. Your seeds are going to die. And some of us with the spiritual winter, the winter of the soul, some of us look at it the same way as we look at the winter around us. And we recognize all the negative things that it is. I'm feeling weighty, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling broken, I'm feeling worn out because of all of the different things around me in life. And often we try to, maybe spring could just come, maybe I could just pretend that I'm in a different season of life, maybe I could just kind of get past this one and rush through this one and get to the next stage where it doesn't feel so heavy and so challenging and so overwhelming and so big and daunting. Maybe I could get to the next space in life and that would be better, but I want to encourage you as your pastor, stop rushing, because God sometimes has something really incredible to offer you in the winter that he won't bring you in the spring or the summer, that he wants to do something in the winter of your soul, in the broken spaces in your soul. He doesn't want you to rush past it and go, God, will you just do something in the spring? I want to be happy, and then you move. You know, we can see God often when it's beautiful and we're having barbecues and it's sunny and you're wearing shorts and everything's good and the birds are chirping. You can look around and say, isn't God good? But God wants to meet you in the winter and show himself good there, even in the heavy spots. Some of you are dealing with some real heavy things. The winter of your soul is real. I know that. I know some of what some of you are facing. Some of you are dealing with tragedy or loss of life in your families, and you're dealing with trying to figure out how to walk through the winter of losing a loved one. Some of you are dealing with failing classes and being at school and feeling like you don't actually fit in and you're not accomplishing much. Some of you are dealing with not ever adding up to enough under your parents' leadership and you feel like your parents don't love you. Some of you are dealing with marriage issues. You're dealing with the challenges of feeling like my marriage is breaking up. Some of you are dealing right now with affairs and infidelity. You're dealing with that within your marriage and trying to figure out how to sort that winter in your soul out. These are heavy things. Some of you are dealing with sickness that you're facing. You're challenged by terminal illness that's part of your family and part of your life right now, and you're dealing with that reality. Some of you have been cut from teams. Some of you are dealing with financial loss. We all can get ourselves once in a while in these winters of the soul, and often we just go, I just got to hurry up and get to the spring. I got to get to the next thing. I got to get to wherever it was good or get back to when it was good. I just got to get out of here one way or another. And I want to encourage you, stop rushing past that season, because God has something for you there. And it hurts, and it's challenging, and it can be overwhelming in that space. But faith isn't all about just living your life in the spring and the summer, but sometimes it's about calling God's power into your winter and believing that he's got something for you there. As heavy, as challenging, as overwhelming, as difficult as that space can be. Sometimes all we think is that we need to get this situation resolved. I just need to get this situation resolved. Even our prayer life can be like, God, can you just resolve this situation, resolve the challenge I'm facing, resolve all the things I'm overwhelmed with. But God knows we don't need everything resolved. We just need him involved. Hey? Ooh, it's right. Sometimes we think everything's got to get figured out, and God just saying, no, I just need to be there with you. I just need to be a part of the story. I need to be joining you there. I need to be walking with you through it. You know, there's this moment in the Bible where a guy named Jacob has kind of messed some things up in his family. God's going to bless him. God's going to do some incredible things through his life. But Jacob has stolen a blessing and his birthright from his older brother, or the birthright from his older brother. He's sort of broken up his family. He's created animosity between him and his brother. And then his dad isn't too happy about that yet. He still blesses him. And then Jacob has to like flee his house. And he's in this in-between stage. He's heading towards a life that he thinks is somewhere out there, but he's also kind of running from the life that he created back there and the mess that he made back there. And he flees from his house. He runs away. He goes to try to start a life somewhere else. And he's kind of in this winter season. And in Genesis 28, 10 to 13, I want to catch up with this story. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. So you can read past that and go, oh, yeah, he's just having a nap. No, he's having a nap as with a stone as his pillow. I don't know if you, we can't seem to get the right pillows for our lives for some reason. I don't know. They're just not working, but they're still not stones, you know. They're still not rocks that we're trying to sleep on. So we're still not sleeping on rocks at nighttime and laying our head down on a rock. And when we look at this, we're not supposed to go, oh, they had such hard heads back then. That was so nice. Like, no, this shows he's not in a good spot. Where does he get to sleep? In the woods somewhere that's not his home, in between that old life and some life somewhere ahead, and with the recognition that he just blew up his whole family and his whole life and everything behind him, and he's carrying the blessing of God, but it hasn't actually received what it was supposed to look like yet, and there he is laying his head down on a rock. He's in a winter moment. Jacob's in a broken moment. He had a dream in that moment in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Now he goes on, the Lord's going to go on and remind him about what the promise has been to Abraham and Isaac and now is going to be to Jacob. But God shows up and he shares all of that with Jacob in that broken space. And it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. That really struck me this week. Jacob's not really happy with the life he's come from necessarily, and he hasn't achieved the life he's going to yet, and he's in the woods where he doesn't really know anyone, and he's stuck, and he doesn't have a lot of possessions yet. He's not married, he doesn't have kids yet, he doesn't have his life sorted out yet, and he's laying on a rock as his bed. I don't know if some of you have felt like that in your life. Some of us have, maybe you're in that space right now, like you might as well be in the woods laying on a rock. Like life is not good right now for you, and life is challenging for you right now, and you don't really know where to go with things right now or how to sort out what you're dealing with right now, and you don't know where everything lands right now. And in that space, often we can say, God, I just want to get to the next space. I want to get to where your blessing feels good, where it feels like sunshine on my face, where it feels like I can rest easy on a soft bed instead of on rocks, you know, in a beautiful space, in a home that is mine with people who love me instead of running from people who hate me because of my own doing, in a bed that is uncomfortable, without a home in it, without being established in anything. I want to go and feel where it's good with you, Lord. And there in that space, God shows up and speaks, and Jacob's words are just to me astounding. Surely the Lord is in this place. In what place? In the place where my head is on a rock. In what place? In the place where my family behind me hates me. In what place? In the place where I haven't achieved the life I want to achieve yet. In what place? In the place where nothing is established in my life, where I don't even have a home, and my bed is gross. And when God shows up, he doesn't say, Jacob, what are you doing in the woods, man? Why are you laying on a rock that looks so uncomfortable? Pff, pillow. You know, he doesn't say, oh, memory foam, down duvet. You look forward to this, Jake, just so you know, this is what the future generations are going to know and experience. You wear sackcloth to bed usually. No, down duvets. It's going to be amazing. You know, God doesn't go, let me change all of this for you. You don't even have a house, Jacob. Come on, you're the blessed one. Psh, here's your house. You know, here's your bed. You want me to cook you a meal? You want me to take care of all these things? He just says, hey, Jacob, there's still a future for your family. There's still a promise. I'm still God, and I exist. I'm not here to resolve this, but I am here to involve myself in this. I'm in your situation. I'm in your challenge. I'm in your difficulty. I'm not going to change your difficulty right now, but I am in it. And Jacob wakes up from this dream and says, whoa, I'm in God's house. This is God's house. Where there's suffering, yeah, this is God's house. Where there's brokenness, yeah, this is God's house. And he has a revelation that he doesn't have in the springtime or the summertime. And if you're in a winter season of your soul right now, God may have something for you that he wasn't going to give you when everything was good. Or maybe you weren't even going to ask for when everything was good. Because there's this urgency that stirs up in us when things are tough. When things are difficult. There's this desire to see God meet us. I start to say, God, if you could just be close at least. Because everything else is a mess. Could you just come close? Surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. Maybe you're living a life right now where you say, God can't be in this place. I must be alone here. What if God is in that place? Surely God is here, and you're not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. My suffering is the gate of heaven. My brokenness is where the gate of heaven is. My lostness in between is where the gate of heaven is. Some of us think that when we're in suffering seasons or winters of the soul that we just must not be praying enough. We must not have good enough faith. We must not be believing. Lord, I just want to start believing for your blessing. Would you make me rich? You know, would you fix every ailment within me? Would you stop that thing over there? And sometimes it's within our suffering that God says, wait, why? You're at the gate of heaven. Right here. And God is big enough to show up into that suffering place and make it a place of celebration. Imagine Jacob. Nothing changes about his circumstances. And yet he goes, whoa, I'm in the house of God. I'm here right now. There's something special about that. In a second, we're going to watch a little YouTube video. First of all, what do we do if the Lord is in this place and we're not aware of it? What should we be doing in this place? If you're in a season of winter in your life, maybe your marriage is not feeling good. Maybe your schooling is not feeling good. Maybe your career is not feeling good. Maybe the sickness that you're facing is challenging. Maybe your kids are not doing well. Maybe you're having a hard time dealing with a tragedy in your life and trying to figure out all of that. What do we do if God is here and we're not aware of it? First of all, I just want you to accept that the winter is not spring. There are reasons that there are times in life where things are just going to be a little bit harder. And sometimes what we do is we just try to pretend that it's not hard. No, everything's fine. And we have no one to talk to about it. We have no one to share about it, no one to pray with about it. In fact, we don't even pray about it because we try to convince God that it's fine too. I shouldn't be down. I shouldn't be feeling this weight. I shouldn't be tempted this way. I shouldn't be overcome this way. I shouldn't be battling the same thing that I battled for years and years and years. I shouldn't be still facing this addiction. I shouldn't be trying to walk through this. Come on, I'm past this by now. I live in the spring. No, you're in the winter. Be honest. Recognize that sometimes you're just in the winter. You're just there. And there's some challenge that you have to face. So first thing is accept that it's winter, that winter is not spring. It's not the season to plant. We get it with the garden. Sometimes we don't get it with our faith. Next one, move through the season at God's pace. See, that one of the things, that one of the greatest pictures that God gives us is us abiding with him. Us abiding with him, or us wearing his yoke upon us, walking in his yoke, walking, and that means that he's here, I'm here, and we're connected by this thing that would keep us walking at the same speed. And if I slow down, then he starts doing this, and if he slows down, then I start doing this, and I'm trying to speed my way out of it, I just start going in circles. But if I just walk through with him, knowing that, Lord, I'm mourning right now, yeah, I'm here. Lord, I don't know what to do right now, yeah, I'm here. Lord, I'm feeling rejected right now, yeah, I'm here. Let's walk this. Let's take this space. Let's allow ourselves to move through this. I am beside you. I am with you. But God, why isn't it solved yet? Because I have purpose for this season in your life. And some of the greatest characters in the Bible had to walk through immense suffering before they saw themselves step into this promise that God had for them. What does it look like to just walk at God's pace through the winter of our soul? It's going on for so long though, God. Yeah, I got a good work for you. I've got something I want to do in you, and it's going to take some time here. I don't remember the last night that I went to bed and didn't cry. I'm crying with you. I'm with you. I'm seeing all of that. I'm recognizing all of that. But I'm here. I'm beside you. I've got something for you here and now. Next week, we're going to talk about living, knowing that spring is coming. But right now, what does it look like to just recognize I'm in the winter, and God's got something for me in this space? First one, accept the winter is not spring. Second, move through the season at his pace. And the third, pray for breakthrough. It's okay to ask, you know? Just because we're in the winter and we recognize it, it's still okay to ask, God, might you do something in this season? Could you change my circumstance? I know for sure when I look at some of what happens in the Bible, I think of David's prayer. And David has done some things and rejected God and chosen a different life than he was supposed to live. And God says, that's it. And he gives him these punishments. And one of them is that his son is going to die. And David starts praying and praying, God, don't take him. Don't take my son. Don't take my son. I just want to see. I please don't do that, Lord. Let me just. And he prays and prays and prays and prays and prays. And then his son dies. And he leaves that time and he goes and worships God. See, even when we pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and our prayer is not answered, still usually we've grown in our faith to the point where we recognize God is bigger than our circumstances. That when we pray and pray and pray and pray, our faith is built. Our faith isn't built by answered prayers. Our faith is built by praying. Sometimes we go, well, he didn't answer how I wanted to. I know so many people who've prayed and prayed and prayed and asked him to answer a certain way. He didn't. And then a few years down the road, they would say to you, it was so good he didn't answer that prayer. I needed him to be God in that situation and not me. But why not ask? Accept that winter is not spring. Move through the season at his pace and yet pray for breakthrough. I want to encourage you with this. There's this one song that I hear over and over. People are saying, this is my song. It seems like there's songs that happen at once in a while. People say, this is my song. This is what I need right now. And this is a song that I've heard a lot lately. People saying, this is my song. I want to watch it together, this YouTube video together of a song coming out of Bethel in Reading and just the testimony that has come out of that. And this idea, I want you to hear the words of this song, the idea that I would sing in the storm. storm, that I would praise even in the presence of my enemy. I will sing my song and I will look to God, because even when my enemy's in the room, even when I'm in the storm, even when I'm facing challenge, I know who's God, and I know that he's with me, and I know that he's leading me. So check out this video together and allow it to inspire you as we wrap up this service.
This year, as a Bethel Music family, a few days before Christmas, most of you guys probably were a part of this miracle. This year, as a Bethel Music family, a few days before Christmas, most of you guys probably were a part of this miracle. But we watched Joel and Janie Taylor's little son, Jackson. And he was, a few days before Christmas, airlifted to intensive care. And we began to fight for Jackson's life. How many of you guys joined in that fight and that symphony of prayer that rose up for a little boy? And a couple weeks into the fight, we got a text one night from Joel that they weren't sure if he was going to make it through the night. And as soon as I heard and read the message, it was like this giant of unbelief stood in front of me. And I just thought, Jackson's going to die tonight. We're not going to see the miracle. And as this giant stood in front of me, all of a sudden, out of my gut, this song started coming out right in the face of the giant. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. As that giant was looking at us, I knew he was going to regret the day he ever pointed his sword at Jackson. Just as Goliath pointed his sword at David, the sword Goliath pointed at David became the sword the little boy picked up and took the giant's head off with. And as we watched this miracle happen in Jackson's body, it was like this giant of unbelief was falling. And our community just began to sing this song. It was just one note in the symphony of prayer rising for his life. So I want to teach it to you this morning. Let's sing. I raise a hallelujah.
happening even in this place. This is God's house. So why don't we just raise the music just a little bit, Amy, as we just declare it over your own life. Let it be.
Just begin to raise your own hallelujah. I can't do it for you. There's a song written on your heart only you can sing. And when you sing, enemies flee. When you sing, prison walls come falling down. When you sing, heaven invades the earth. So just begin to lift up your hallelujah. Raise it like a banner.
Jesus. Hey, surely wherever you are, this is the house of the Lord. Surely what you're walking through, this is the house of the Lord. He is there. He's with you. Walk in his strength. In the dead of winter, know that he's with you. He's beside you and that he's leading you through that at the pace you need to walk. Go and allow him to reveal himself to you in your winter. Have an incredible Sunday. You can go get this song on YouTube and check it out as much as you need to this week. Go and walk with him even through the dead of winter. We love you. Have a great week.